It's a privilege to be asked again by Mark to preach here. And somebody asked me to preach, I find it a great blessing, but also brings great fear. Because to know that we have to represent God and to represent Him in truth. And whether it be on the streets or whether it be here, to represent God in any way is not a good thing. I'm going to speak on a subject today that took me a while to decide on while seeking God. I went through about 7 different subjects where I came back to one I thought of earlier, and it's something that was mentioned in prayer, and it's something that brings a lot of emotion up, especially on the streets with people, and a lot of extreme anger, but yet I believe it's an extreme evil in the eyes of God, and it is the subject of abortion. It is a very, very, in my eyes, a very great sin, but most of all I believe in God's eyes. And one of the scriptures I'd like to begin with, first of all, and the main scripture, very short scripture, is in Exodus 20, verse 13, as I'm sure we all know. And it says, "Thou shalt not kill." Now there should be the complete defense of against abortion in God's eyes. Now we see men and women trying to, in many ways, play God and try and decide who lives and who dies. But here we're talking about the most innocent of all. We're talking about children who have never done any wrong, who have never committed a crime against anybody. We're not talking about... I watched a documentary there recently, and there was a man in Texas, I believe, and he was on death row. But he was there for a reason. He was there for crimes. He went in and he murdered 2 people, a young girl and a mother. So we see there's a big difference between that killing, and we see a very big difference between an innocent person. We see there's justice in certain cases. Many people will say, well, does God not kill? Well, God brings judgment upon people, and He's completely in His power and His right to do that. But we see God as a merciful God and a just God. But today, as I said, we are talking about taking the life of a baby that has not yet entered into this world. Now what we need to ask is it a baby? Many people I will hear say, well, it's not actually a baby, it's a clump of cells, it doesn't exist yet. Or some would even say, well, it's too dependent upon the mother, it needs to feed off the mother. Well, that is true. But this little baby here today, if you were to put her in the kitchen there and come back in 12 weeks' time, sadly you would not find that little baby just happy and playing about there. That little baby could not go off and shop. It could not go out and feed itself. It's dependent on its mother and father. Where do we take this to as logic? Do we? I had one young man, an evolutionist, and this is really where this stems from. One young man who told me, well, I said, would it be okay to kill a disabled person? He said, well, my auntie is severely disabled, and I don't think it would be a bad thing to put her to death. See, when you move away from the law of God, when you make the laws up yourself, you run a great risk of being trying to play God. I'd like to look at some statistics on abortion, also some things what doctors say or the medical side say about life and when life begins. I did some research and I found some on April 23rd and 24th, 1981. A committee held a hearing on when life begins. Over 20 embryology and other medical textbooks agreed that human life began at conception. Now this is the medical side of it. This is the people who deal with it, the scientific side of it. And they say it begins at conception. So if we agree that life begins at conception, surely it would be a pretty evil thing to end that life. Surely it would be a pretty evil thing to make a life cease that would have come into this world and lived a life of whatever way, we do not know. But when we take away that child's right to life, and when most of all we go against God's word, and we actually do what God says, thou shalt not kill, we actually unjustly take a life. Well, to go on a bit, one doctor said, conception confers life and makes that life one of a kind. That's amazing. Do you know each and every individual here today, while there's many similarities with us? Or you could even get 2 children who are twins. But yet they are individually unique. They have individual fingerprints, individual DNA. They're not of the same person. So what we would need to understand, as this doctor says, that this makes that life one of a kind. It is one that is not replicated again. That's why you could have your fingerprints or your when you go to an airport, when we went to Cambodia and they scanned your eye, nobody else is going to come along and do you scan their eye and it's not going to wedge your doubt, it's me, if it's not me. Because that person, no matter how he might look similar to me, they're completely different because God has made them completely different. And when we consider what God has made and we consider the uniqueness of each and every person, it is really amazing to think, and it really is a true miracle, that God would bring from nothing, or from an egg and a piece of sperm, and suddenly we have a beautiful baby. Another doctor went on to say, to accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human being has come into being. It is no longer a matter of opinion. It is a plain experimental evidence. Plain experimental evidence. So these medical people and over 20 medical textbooks agree. So when you have people on the streets and saying, well, it's just a clump of cells, well, the medical side and the scientific side completely disagree with it. They do not agree. So if life is sacred, surely we should not be ending life. Another gentleman went on to say, and we see in scientific and medical groups, as gentlemen said, after life begins at conception, it is life. It is a life. But what we really want to know is, more importantly, what does God say? What does He say within His Word? Because while we can look to these people, these medical people, and make them of wonderful gifts, but not all of them use that wonderful gift unto the glory of God or to do what would please God. It says in Psalm 139:13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So we see the psalmist here is praising God, because he is acknowledging that within his mother's womb, it was God who was at work. God was actually at work within his life. Before he had entered his life, God was putting him together. He was creating them. God doesn't just let the sperm come together with the egg and go, bang, now it's done, I'll just leave it alone. God is still at work. He's still knitting that person together within the mother's womb. So we see very clearly here that this is a great and amazing work of God. In Job 31:13-15 it says, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do? When God riseth up, when he visiteth it, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? So we see once again, this is not just a random chance, just an accident that a child just comes about and it's of no value. Job acknowledges here, he even acknowledges his own servants. And he acknowledges that what way he would treat them, he might have to stand before God. He says, did not he who made me in the womb create him also? So we see very clearly once again that the Word of God talks a lot about children being created within the womb. Scriptures also tell us that children are a heritage from the Lord. But do we say, well, this one is because I want it and this one's not because I don't want it? There was a tragedy again this week, which will not hit Sky News or RTE, of a young lady who died in America while having a 33-week abortion. 33 weeks. That's just over 8 months. If that baby had been just a little bit more premature, I don't know the full statistics of it, but more than likely the lady probably found out maybe had some sort of deformity. A survey done in England has been found recently that many children are aborted later on because they may have a cleft lip, they may have a club foot. So now we're even saying, okay, we're looking at certain children going, bit of a deformity there. Not quite what I want. So I will now push that child out and I'll try again next time round. That's okay to do if you want to go and buy yourself a car. And the car is not quite the colour you like, it's not quite mechanically sound as you like. That's okay to say, I'm going to get rid of this and I'll begin again. That's okay. But we are talking here about an actual human life that God has granted to this mother, this father, has most of all entrusted. What a precious thing to be entrusted. We see people when they hold a baby and they're very, very careful on how they hold that baby. They know that baby is delicate and precious and that they wouldn't want to drop that baby. So they will do everything to protect that child. But as I said, there was something again in the paper, I don't know the full story of that young lady who died, the Indian lady, I believe the case has come out. I don't know exactly what happened. I just read a bit on the front and it said something to the effect that the doctors need to be held responsible because she had some sort of blood poisoning for 3 days and he didn't notice. I don't know whether they're going to bring it back to save abortion, whether it would have saved that life. But abortion doesn't save a life. The goal of abortion is to end a life. Now, as I said, it is very sad for that poor lady who died in America this week, and her sympathies are with the family, and we would never wish this upon anyone. But that lady went in there. Her goal was to put to death a little child. Now, you may not have heard as well, also, when that Indian lady died in Galway, on that very same week, there was another 2 deaths in America, one in Florida, one in another part of America, also from abortion. Now, it's amazing how the news will get, you will scream and say, look at this lady died because she wasn't allowed an abortion, that this lady's life is gone. But yet, they keep very, very quiet about the other 2 ladies. Now, we had a group beside us, the Socialist Party. And this time, you weren't going on about water charges or anything. That's all okay. This time, you were out and you were very proud. As they say, we want abortion on demand and we are proud of it. And we were preaching against, and one young lady came up and said, what about that lady who died? I said, it's very sad, whatever happened to that lady that died. I said, what about the 2 ladies who died in America? And her reply to that was, I don't care about them. They were her literal words. See, she had an agenda. She was absolutely in rebellion to God. She had a goal. She believed a lot of lies, and her goal was to bring something that was not true. She had no thought of the life of this child that died. Did no thought of the life and the respect for what God had created. And this is what we need to understand, first of all. Children are from God. They didn't just happen by random chance. Most people say today, well, either we evolved. Okay, well, if evolution is true, let them kill them. Let us all kill each other, because that's what evolution is. It is survival of the fittest. I found it very funny, on the Galapagos Islands, they sent in a team to get rid of a lot of rats, because these rats, there was thousands of rats running around. This is where Charles Darwin went and observed these different, what he taught, species of birds. And these rats were taking the birds' eggs, and they were killing certain rare birds, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, we must go in and prevent this. You'd have to, these were evolutions, you'd have to ask why. The rats are more fitter than the birds. Let the rats just do, let them kill. See, when you have people like Hitler, now he believes in the system, and he believed that certain people were inferior, whether that being the gypsies, the Jews, the homosexuals, or the mentally and physically disabled. And as I said, many children now are put to death because they may be physically or mentally disabled. Is this what it's come to? That we just say, okay, well, they're not quite at the scratch. I had a cousin, I never actually met her in England. She would have been about the same age as me. She died, I think, at the age of 19, severely mentally disabled. Physically and mentally, but she was a blessing to her mother. Her mother didn't decide and say, I'm going to go and have this terminated. I'm going to go and just have my child murdered. First of all, we need to ask, is it murder? That's the first thing we need to see. I just want to talk a bit here. It says, have we seen that life has begun? If someone purposely ends that life, it would be murder. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus that the life is in the blood. A baby's heart begins to beat at about 16 days. 16 days. I actually have a little baby with me. It's in my pocket. It's not a real one, obviously. It's a little rubber one, but it's a great likeness. Now, this is a replica of a baby at just 12 weeks. You may have grown up like me and heard in 12 weeks, no big deal. Many abortions take place at 12 weeks. This is a replica of what it looks like. Its arms are there, its legs are there, its ears are there. Heart began to beat at 16 days. Now, even if you go back to half of this, the baby's going to be much smaller, but everything's there. 6 weeks, everything's there. See, it is amazing what God does within the womb. It truly is a miracle that God is forming this little life. And he is bringing it together. And to think that man or women would say, well, I'm just going to go. I don't want this child for this reason or that reason. And I'm now going to get rid of it. You say it's not wanted. There is no such thing as an unwanted child. The mother, father may not want it. There are so many families out there who will be blessed to receive this child. Whether it be a child in complete health, whether it be a child who has problems. That is irrelevant. As I said, the sixth commandment says that we are not to murder. This is what it all comes back to. It comes back to complete and utter rebellion against God and His law. It breaks the sixth commandment by killing. It breaks the first because we're not loving God the way we should, and we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Surely these little children, while they are not out, what is the difference? Ray Comfort gave a great quote. He said, one baby is in a womb, one's in a room. What's the difference? You can have a baby that is about to be born, and you can have a baby that is born. So is that baby now a baby? As soon as it pops its head out, now it's life. There are some people that have even gone as far as saying it is still not fully human or viable till it becomes to a certain age, maybe 6 or 7 years of age. So it is absolute mind-boggling. This subject has boggled my mind. I walked by the Irish Times building up in Tower Street there, and I see some of the pictures in the window. One said, Pat Rabbit muzzles the abortion debate. And I'm looking at that thinking, this should never be a debate. This should never be up for discussion. Do we understand what we are talking about? We are talking about God knitting together a wonderful baby within a womb, and we are talking of stepping in and taking that child and horrendously ending that life, which is sacred in the eyes of God. That life is sacred. So what we need to understand is that abortion, first of all, is the murder of an unborn person. We need to come back, is this a person? Many people try to, this is where to get around it. It is not a person. You can feel much easier about doing something to someone or to an animal if you degrade that down to a certain degree where you don't value that life anymore. You will find it so much easier, and this is what the world is doing. It is satanic. It is against God, absolutely and utterly and completely. In Proverbs 6, 16 to 17, it says, these six things do the Lord hate. Yeah, seven are an abomination. I'm just going to deal with a couple of them. Unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. We need to understand that, as I said earlier on, a child is the most innocent of all. Yes, we've inherited a simple nature. But a child has never come out and stole or killed or even rebelled against God. And a child is in a womb which it is happy, it is at peace, it receives everything it needs. See, it is not that lady's right to take that child. I've had ladies say, it's my body. I say, it is not your body. You do not have four arms, you do not have four legs, you do not have two hearts. It is a separate body grown within you. Yes, it is feeding off your body. As one man said to me, it's like a parasite that feeds off your body. Do we see where we're going when we hear people say these things? How much they degrade the human life, and how they make it out that it's not, that it's subhuman. And this is where it all comes back to. When we make it subhuman, you will find it much easier to wipe away that life. This is how Hitler and all his followers found it very easy to take away these lives, because they made them subhuman. There was a lady called, I use that word very loosely, lady called Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger is the founder of a group in America called Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, I would say, without too much question, was a pretty evil lady. Margaret Sanger, at one stage, she brought in birth control. She terrible things to say about marriage. She terrible things to say about God. So we can see once again she's rebelling against God and against God's words. Her goal was to liberalize women, to do what he wants. While Margaret Sanger made many quotes against abortion, and early on in Planned Parenthood, they made it very clear. They said contraception's okay, but they said abortion kills a baby and actually endangers the patient being the mother. But Planned Parenthood today is one of the biggest abortion clinics in America. Margaret Sanger, if you look up eugenics, we're going right back again to evolution. Margaret Sanger, as some of her quotes are disgusting. She calls certain people of certain races human weeds and need to be abolished. So some of the things she said certain people need to be forcefully sterilized. Same again, certain races, certain people that she saw to be lower than human, forcefully sterilized. Human weeds. She said, one of the best things a big family can do with a newborn baby is to kill it. Kill it. She was justifying on the basis, if you can't feed it, you can't do any of these things, it's better to get rid of it. Now, I've heard stories in Cambodia of women selling their children, many of them with good motives. Because the way they looked, well, if I get $200 for this child, I'm sure they hope these children were going to be looked after, and you were probably told to be brought up and reared well. But sadly, many of them were being sold into sex trade. But I'm sure many of these did it with a good motive. But their goal was to think, okay, well, if I sell this child, I have a better hope of raising this other child. And many of these women were extreme, dire consequences of being able to feed them. But this little lady just made it very clear her views. But if you do some research on eugenics, Margaret Sanger, you'll find out a lot about this. But once again, it comes back to people who reject God, who reject God's law, and live an absolute lawless life. In Leviticus 20, we had children being burned alive to Moloch. You would actually take these live, newborn children, go to this statue, put them upon his arms, and sayings go that he would then beat the drums louder and louder as the babies would scream as they're being burned alive. Now these would do this to appease this false god called Moloch. They would do it believing that this would appease him in some way. Now their motives were messed up. They were crazy, should we say. But today, people do it to another god. They do it to a god of self. You do not have to take your child now and go and put it upon a fire. See, that is pretty gruesome. That is pretty visual to yourself. And pretty difficult to do, I'd like to think, for any mother or father. But now, it is actually much easier. Because you don't have to do it yourself. You can go and pay somebody. You can go into a nice, clean-looking hospital. You can lie in a bed. And 10, 15 minutes later, you are no longer pregnant. You can get doctors to tell you this is okay. It can make you feel it's okay. You can get people to run around and say, it's a woman's choice, it's my body. I agree with part of that statement. It is her choice. Well, Hitler had a choice. That young man in America went into the cinema and shot all those people. He had a choice. You and I have a choice today. We have many choices. We have a choice to kill, not to kill. But what I would ask, do we choose right or do we choose wrong? Well, once again, we need to come back to the word of God. Thou shalt not kill. So when a man unjustly takes another man or woman or baby's life, they murder and they stand in the judgment of a holy righteous God. The Bible also tells us, it talks once again of Moloch and these children being given. And I'll paraphrase because I didn't put down the scripture, but God is saying that you took my children and you cast them upon a fire. And I never asked you to do such a thing, nor was such a thing enter my mind. So we see this is such an evil thing to God. To take the most offenseless and to have them put to death. And as I said, this is now the God of self. This is what it's all about. In James 4 it talks about you have not and you kill. Do you know 99% of abortions are committed not because of medical grounds, not even because of I don't have enough money, which is never justifiable. It is because someone may say, I want my career, I want to live my life as I want to live. And this is what it comes back to. The Bible says, deny yourself, the world says, you pamper yourself. It is all about you. And this is what makes abortion deadly and complete and utter evil in the eyes of God, and it should be in our eyes. So when we see someone decide to make their choice and to say, I'm going to choose whether it be to go to England, whether it be in America, or sadly, whether it be in Tala Hospital one day. I've heard before that he actually talked in Tala Hospital said, we can do this. We can do it. Well, I remember hearing a quote from one doctor. He said, I was like a schizophrenic, a former abortionist. He said, I would turn left in the hospital. And I would deliver a baby. And I would congratulate the mother and the father. And I would turn right in the hospital. And I would go and murder a baby. He said, I was like a schizophrenic. Jekyll and Hyde. I would go left, I would save, I would go right, and I would kill. Amazing. Amazing when you think about it. By God's grace, this man has come to repentance. He has repented of his evil deeds. But it is a fearful, fearful thing to do this and then to stand before God one day. And that's also another thing I would actually say. Many women, I'd say that many do this just for self. But I wouldn't like to put all women in that category. I believe many men have such responsibilities in this area. I've read so many quotes. One young lady said she went in for the abortion and she cried and cried and she was waiting for her husband to burst through the door and say, "Don't do it," who was sitting in the waiting room, who brought her there when she didn't even want to go. There was a lady actually who, I believe she had 4 children, could be wrong, and there's 4 or 5 in Germany. This was on the news, I believe, late last year. And she killed these children. And she buried these children. Her husband told her if she has any more children, she'll leave. I don't know how it happened that she kept having the children and she hid her pregnancies or whether he knew and he turned a blind eye. But this lady was being done on manslaughter for these children. So this lady is now being done for manslaughter. But if she, 3 or 4 months earlier, had gone to a hospital, she could have legally had these babies murdered. That sounds even mind-boggling just to think of that in and of itself. I'd like to give some statistics on abortion. An average of 55 million babies have died in America since 1973. I was born in 76. So 3 years before that, 39 years ago, there would have been an average of 55 million men and women who would have been on this earth, who would have probably had children of their own, and they're not here. Because somebody decided to make a choice. Because somebody decided to walk away and do it their way and not God's way. God's law still reigned. God still says that thou shalt not kill. But they decided, no, I'm going to not listen to God. I'm going to listen to self. I'm going to listen to the liberals. I'm going to listen to the doctors and all these who say it's okay. It's okay. 55 million. Do you know many babies, statistics say, would have died in America today? Oh, 3,000. And tomorrow, 3,000. And the day after, 3,000. September the 11th, terrible tragedy, killed about 3,000. Horror all over the place, all over the world, and rightly so. There was a terrible injustice committed. But yet, most of these American people who cried and cried over that don't bat an eyelid over this. I looked at a picture Jeff put up there recently on Facebook of this young lady. Two ladies, but one with a very big bump, posing and smiling outside an abortion clinic. And she was going to go in and murder her child. And then a picture of another lady who was very big, I can't remember how far she was gone. She was twins. She had girls, or a girl already, found out these were boys, or these were girls again, and she wanted a boy. So she was deciding to go in and pay $2,600. To have her children murdered. Now somebody sat down with this lady and he talked to her and he tried to dissuade her and he tried to say, look, there's adoption if you don't want the children. No. No. And she decided, calculated, to go in to this clinic to pay $2,600 because she was so far gone on. Believe it or not, abortion can be committed legally in certain states of America for 9 months under certain circumstances. If there's certain health problems or disabilities with the child, up to 9 months. England, up to 6 months. 6 months. There was a baby born, and I think it was Carlo, who was under 6 months. She survived. She's great. Doing great. Great health. But you can actually kill a baby up to 6 months. I'd like to give some quotes from, just a few short quotes, from former abortionists. Some of these are a bit graphic. I don't know whether I should, even with the children. But is it okay? Should I go into some? I won't go too heavy. Okay. It says, one said you would just look in the buckets and see, leave that blank, but you could get an idea of what I'm saying. Another one said, I walked into the laboratory every day. I saw babies that were, every day for 3 years, if I could see 50, I was so happy because I was going to have a good bonus in my paycheck. So this lady who once again, thank God, now rejected her. She's not glorifying in this quote. She's saying, this is what I taught. If I went in and saw 50 babies each day, I knew I was on for a bonus. Is this what it's come to? It's fine to go into your job and do great work and you see lots of work doing something for a bonus. That's absolutely fine. But we're talking about here children. Another one said, I got to where I couldn't stand to look at the little anymore. I'm leaving out certain words, but I'm sure you can get what I'm saying. One doctor says, I was a hitman. Is this not what you are? He said, I was a hitman. If you know certain people in Dublin City today and you have enough money, you could pay that person and within whatever period of time, they may actually end that person's life for the pure reason of money. And this doctor really got it right. He said, I was a hitman. I remember watching another video of this chap who claims to be an ordained Baptist minister. When he was asked, is he killing? He acknowledged very openly, yes, I'm killing. Now he justified it by saying, this fellow still continues today, he justified it by saying that he's doing the women a favour because there's young girls coming in and they're too young and they can't have children. And we hear all these reasons. They're too young. They're just, how could somebody have a child that young? I have actually a cousin in England and she had a child pretty young. I believe she was late 12, early 13. Now, she did not decide once again to kill that child. That child now is maybe 5, 7 years old. I'm not too sure. But once again, it is an excuse. There's no doubt that it's quite difficult. But if there's parents there or somebody who can support them, once again, adoption must always be an option. Adoption must always be an option to actually allow that. I'd like to give a couple of quotes. This time from women who made a mistake of having an abortion. These are just very short quotes, and there was a big long ones, but just for time I made them very short. It said, one lady said, nobody said it would hurt so much. She didn't mean physically, she meant mentally. She meant the scars that are left mentally after what she terms as a mistake. Another lady said, every time the vacuum was used, I thought of how my baby died. I still grieve, and it's been over 10 years. So sadly, this poor lady, when she'd stick on the Hoover, would bring her right back to 10 years before, when she heard that sound like a Hoover doom. Don't you know? Another lady said, my baby died, and I still grieve, and it's been over 10 years. This is another lady. Another lady said, I didn't want to abort, but everyone was against me. So as I said, once again, many ladies sadly are under great pressure. And I've seen many statements from ladies. So while many ladies choose this openly, there is many who are pressurized. And as I said, men have parts of playing this. Mothers and fathers and brothers and many people have parts of playing this. This is not just looking at a lady and saying, you're so this and you're so that. That's not what this is about. As I said, there's many women who have made a mistake, but who have come to great devastation. And they don't tell you this either. They don't tell you the effects it will have. I looked up there a few months ago, a clinic in England, and I just looked it up out of curiosity, just doing some research. And I could see the price list and this and that. But then, very interestingly, I went into one part of it, and I very openly talked about how if you have an abortion, these could be the side effects. You may end up an alcoholic, drug addict. You may end up suicidal, not being able to have a child, immediately wanting a child. Your boyfriend, husband, he may end up suicidal, depressed, blah, 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 and so on and on. So you were actually pretty open, and you were saying these could be the side effects for you. And I've read testimony after testimony of ladies, and this is exactly what happened, whether it be immediately after, whether it be years after, but this is what's happened many of them. An abortion in America will cost you today from $350 to over $2,000. Is this the price we put upon a child's life? Do we actually say, well, this one's worth this one's worth that? Depending on how far gone you are, that will be the price. In England, it's a bit more expensive. Up to 14 weeks, and remember my little rubber baby, 12 weeks. Up to 14 weeks, you can have them for £562. To 24 weeks, it will cost you £1,901. And that's from Mary Stopes. This is the group now in Belfast. which I believe have an abortion clinic, but by God's grace haven't committed any abortions yet. There's some legalities going on up there at the moment, thank God, and they haven't got to do that yet, but sadly these are completely operating in England and places like it. So we see here that people are putting prices upon people's lives. People are actually saying, I'm willing to kill. And this is nothing new, is it? As I said, we've hit men who will take somebody out because the price is right. You may not know that man or lady, but it's just something they're willing to do to get what they desire. But once again, we come back to not knowing God and not being obedient to God's law, not loving God and not loving our neighbour as ourselves. We break so many commandments. Break the eighth, you steal somebody's life from them. You break the tenth, you covet that person and you desire that he do not be there. So therefore, you go and you make calls and you do this and you do that. And your goal is to make this stop. And as I said, there's many different circumstances women will be in. And I've talked to women who have burst into tears asking for forgiveness. And for those, there is so much mercy and so much forgiveness in Christ. And I've went into the opposite side as well, just absolute venom coming out of her mouth. One lady says she had two and she would kill another one in a heartbeat. Just absolute venom and rebellion completely from God. Another quote, one lady said, she said, I wanted to get off the table and run. The amount of statements I've read of ladies who said you were doing it and they just knew it. I can't do it, it's not right. One young lady, I was looking at her video recently, and she says, as she told the doctor, she said, stop, I don't want to do it. And the doctor replied by saying, don't be a big baby. What a terrible use of words to use within that situation. That lady knew that what she was doing was wrong. And so before she knew, she was getting drowsier and drowsier. She was already at the given the anaesthetic. And she woke up and her baby was gone. And she said she knew it, she could feel it within her body. Her baby is gone. One of the ladies said, my body knew it had been robbed. You know, if you go home today and your TV's gone, you know your house is being violated. You feel grieved. You feel, this is not right. This is an injustice. But this lady actually said, I knew my body had been robbed. Her body was even screaming now that something, a violation had taken place. A violation had been committed against her body. So as I said, I think the goal as well is that with these ladies is to have great compassion as well to know even that there's many Christians who have made this mistake, and there may be even some in the church around the world today who could even do it. And for them, I think we to know that where there's repentance, there's forgiveness. That we are not the judge, that we are not. I think so many women and so many testimonies I've read, he said, I felt so ashamed, so dirty, I couldn't be forgiven, and I couldn't come to God, and I couldn't come to my parents even, because they may have went off and got them. And that is not what we want to do. We are not the judge, we are not there to condemn. When we preach about abortion on the streets, we preach the evilness of abortion, that is murder, against one of God's children. But we also preach that God is merciful and compassionate. Because as I said, after reading so many testimonies and talking to some women and seeing the damage in many cases that is being done to them, we would not want to add any more grief to those people, or to think, well, you're such a sinful person and you're so different to me. We truly do see the evilness of hearts come out, and I believe somewhere deep down we are all capable of it without Christ. So as I said, I believe we need to be very compassionate, and even as I preach in this, to know for anybody who may have made a mistake, there is compassion, there is forgiveness, and there is healing in Christ. He can take away those sins. Second, I would say, well, next of all, I would say, what are we to do as a church? Are we to just sit back and just pray? That's extremely important to pray. I believe we also need to speak up against this evil thing. We need to understand that this is part of the gospel. The sixth commandment says we shouldn't kill. When we preach commandments, this is one of them. A young man recently, a Christian man, and he heard me preaching on abortion. And he said, why do you do that? Do you do that just to get a crowd? I said, no. I said, I do because it is against God's word and it's an evil thing. He genuinely didn't mean harm. But when I explained some scriptures, he got it a bit better, but he genuinely didn't get it either. And I believe there's a lot of that in the church around the world. There's a lot of apathy towards this subject. And I believe this is very important in the eyes of God. So first, we must preach forgiveness to those who may have made a mistake. And second of all, we must preach for those who would consider this. And you may run into people, and your conversation may weigh upon them. And we show people our little babies here. We've had many young girls go, "I never thought it was like that. I thought it was okay. But now I must reconsider my viewpoint." Because as I said, they're bombarded. It's on TV shows. It's glorified. As if it's no big deal. It's politicians are talking about it. Like it's no big deal. And if it's just okay. So we must preach against this. Because it is against the word of God. It is breaking God's law. And it is a very, very evil thing to take a child's life. And to end that life. Something God has created. Beautiful. And something that God has brought in. It's amazing when sometimes we may hear of a lady tragically having a miscarriage, and there's great compassion for that lady, and rightly so. But then the next lady comes along and just says, "I don't want this, and I'm going to kill her." And it's just like, for many, it's like, it's no big deal. We need to get back to, this is not our body. Even for the unbeliever, the body to be given is given by God Himself. And it's not our body, and we can't just live lawlessly within that body. And we cannot just go around and just do whatever we want to that body or anything that is contained within it. Second of all, I would say, it says in the book of Proverbs 24:11-12, it says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doeth not the heart ponder it? Do it not that ponder the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, do it he not know it? And shall he not render to every one according to his works?" So we can sit here today and say, we don't know what's going on there, or we can just ignore, well, this verse is maybe not directly towards abortion, but we can definitely relate it to it. If we see an injustice going on in the world, if we were to walk down the street and see a lady being attacked, would we just go, "Not my business," or "I don't know, I'm just going to pass by. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't. My conscience would not allow me to just ignore such an evil thing." Because within the Christian, there should be something that rises up when we see injustice. When we see people do lawless things and go against God's word, we should speak up. So I believe we are accountable to speak up against the evil we would see around the world. And even in our own nation. This is here. We would all ready to hear the sound. This is a very, very interesting quotation. I found this on Facebook by one of the lads of Jeremiah Cry, and it's actually a group who were around the Holocaust. You were Christians, Christian group. And it says, we would dread to hear the sound of those old wheels, because we knew that the Jews beginning to cry out as they would pass our church. It was so terribly disturbing. We could do nothing to help those poor, miserable people. Yet their screams torment us. We knew at what time the whistle would blow. And we decided that the only way to keep from being so disturbed by the cries was to start singing our hymns. This is of a lady who was there, and the trucks would roll by. And she would hear the Jews scream. They would be gone by the church, known as the church and known as people. And he would scream and he would plead and he would cry for help. And it says, their goal, because he felt sorry for them and pity for them. But he says, their goal was to let's say, self-preservation. Let's get singing. Okay, the trucks are coming at 12. 5 to 12, let's start singing. And at 12, let's start singing really loud. To drown out the screams. Is that what we do today? Do we just ignore? We may not hear the babies physically scream. But we know that there's babies being slaughtered all over the world, whether they be Irish or American or whatever it be. And England kills an average of about 200,000 babies every year. About 10,000 of them are Irish ladies going to England to have the children killed. And that is a great evil in the eyes of God. And as I said earlier, this should never be open to debate. It shouldn't be. But as the Church of God, as Christians, we must speak up against. We must speak with this, with the gospel. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And that must be prominent, but this is part of it. So we're not trying to replace the gospel, as I I feared that young man who was talking to me in town, and he feared I was trying to replace the gospel. No, the gospel is the power of God. But is this not part of it? Is this not one of the commandments that we shouldn't kill? Is this not one of the evil that would keep somebody out of heaven if they don't turn to Christ and trust in Him? And surely we need to speak up for those who cannot speak, for those who are being led to the slaughter. And that is what's happening today. Children are being led to the slaughter. And we must pray about it, and we must preach about it, and we must be compassionate and talk to people about it. And I believe that is God's will. I believe it's God's will that we speak up against this evil thing, and that we would go forth as an army goes into battle, and we would speak against all evil, all sinfulness against God. Every time a man sins, he sins against God. And this surely is a great sin, and a sin that the world is now just accepting so widely. That Ireland now is possibly willing to pass a law to say, okay, under certain circumstances you can kill your child. But they are in absolute and utter rebellion against God. Because His law is the law. His law stands. When I look at the Constitution, it says that we are under the Most High God, the Triune God. They acknowledge that on a piece of paper, but that's as far as it goes. So we must speak up for those who cannot speak. And we must speak up for what God wants us to speak on this subject. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I just thank you for your mercy and your compassion upon us, Lord God, and that you allowed us the privilege to come into this world, Lord God, and to know that so many of your children are slaughtered around the world, happening today and will be tomorrow, Lord God. And we know that you are sovereign, Lord God, and nothing passes your eye, Lord God. And we pray that you would keep abortion out of this nation. And we pray that you would raise up men and women who would preach your gospel fearlessly and also preach against this evil, Lord God. As I see so many brothers and sisters in America, Lord God, preaching against this evil and things being changed, and to witness, Lord God, on videos that of ladies who are going to have an abortion and breaking down in tears and not murdering their baby, and then to see some months later that little baby there that wouldn't have been, but through your mercy and your sovereignty, Lord God, you saved those children. And Lord, there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. But I pray that you would empower us, Lord God. And you would give us a desire to love the things you love and to hate the things you hate, Lord God. And that you would empower us, Lord God, to go forward with great boldness and to speak your word without fear, Lord God. We would not fear men, but we would fear you, Lord God. And you would do this in a way that would be compassionate, but yet without compromise. And thank you for all your blessings that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.